Now, what did USDA say about this? Which, by the way, what did USDA announce yesterday? Round two of market facilitation program payments. It was President Trump's way of providing an offset for the additional tariffs imposed on ag products. All right, so soybean producers are going to get $1.65 in total out of that, out of those two rounds of payments. Does that make us whole? Does that perfectly offset the effects of those higher tariffs? I would say, in USDA's mind, when they did that calculation, that was their offset. I look at other markets, though, and corn, we get a penny. It's a good thing maybe many folks went in for both corn and soybean payments at the same time. I think going in to sign up for a penny would have been a little deflating, to say the least. Sorghum, a fairly high payment of 86 cents. I just remind you, as you think about market facilitation program payments, you got to get in by January 15th to sign up for those payments. We don't want to let those payments slide by. We expect about, or USDA expects about, $9.6 billion in outlays. I see I switched the last two around, so the food purchase program, some of the other commodities that USDA is buying for donations to the needy, et cetera, about $1.2 billion that would be spent under that program. And then under agricultural trade, I've seen about $600 million being requested. I think USDA is saying they're going to spend about $200 million in that program. A total package of about, again, $9.6 billion. But soybeans is going to get the lion's share of that, those additional payments going out. I think somewhere around $7 billion of the total would be headed to soybeans. I like to remind us sometimes, you know, we get so fixated on just what's happening with tariffs that exchange rates matter as well. As the dollar strengthens, it can also create a less than optimal trade situation for us, or a more than optimal trade situation for us. A strong dollar makes our products more expensive to foreign consumers. So at times, I think we sometimes will say, we're the cheapest producers of soybeans in the world or corn in the world. Is that true? I go, it depends a lot on where exchange rates are at any given point in time, where we sit. I think we're very efficient at what we do, but what we pay for those inputs plus what we sell for matters a lot. Are there spillover effects? So sometimes I've spent much of my time this morning talking with you about what's happening to soybeans. But if you look at the soybean corn price ratio for a minute, are we going to plant more corn next year relative to soybeans? Boy, nobody wanted to answer that question this morning either, I could tell. So I might argue, when you look at corn prices relative to soybeans, and we'll see what happens by the time we get to next spring, that some folks may say, you know what, I might want to plant a little more corn next year given where corn are relative to soybean prices. And so there's those indirect effects that are going to continue to live with us for a period of time. And if these tariffs stay in place longer term, then I think those spillover effects get even larger. I for a minute, though, want to back up and say, you know, you look at where crop prices have been. So I used to come out here and I go, gosh, even in 2012 and 2013, an ag economist at the University of Missouri could have made money growing corn and soybeans. Maybe not so much today, but we had record prices. What did those record prices do for us? All right, so we got higher rents, we got higher land prices. We were looking for land, right? And it's been slow to get those rents and values down. How about the rest of the world? What have they been doing? So it's not just us that respond with more acres if we can find them, right? The rest of the world also is trying to respond with more acres. I think some might have put more technology in that seed more quickly. So I think we got some boost on the yield side as well that we continue to deal with. So we got more supplies. And I use this a lot. So when you think about the structure of crop production today, so if somebody decides they're going to exit the business, what happens to that acre? Does it go out of production? Yeah, so even today you might go, it's sold fairly high prices, but somebody keeps farming it, right? Are we going to reduce crop acreage significantly here in the United States? And I go, the fixed costs of doing this have become so high, you have no choice but to produce. And so in periods of low returns, we might not be expanding, but we can't see much reduction. We might have used to have thought we could get some decline in production under those kind of low returns, but I go, we just kind of hang on. And we keep getting some yield growth, which in fact probably is a little delayed in terms of the technology coming to commercial use. But in periods of good returns, what happens? I go, I think we expand here in this country as much as we possibly can, as well as the rest of the world responds as well. So we respond really quickly in positive returns, and we just kind of continue with current strategy when returns are low. Is that a fun industry to be in? Now, I say all that and I go, there are opportunities, but just understand that I think the supply side of the industry has changed a lot. So you,